Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and John in chapter number 11. The Gospel record of John and John in chapter number 11. And as we continue with the Gospel record of John, we've been enjoying walking through this wonderful book of the Bible, to be able to learn more about who God is and how much He truly loves us. Now, we're starting to get towards the end. Remember, the Gospel record of John, for the most part, spends more emphasis on the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry than the rest of the book. So it covers the 3 years just really quick, just fast forward, but it's moving closer and closer to that last week. And we are certainly in that time frame now. In the Gospel record of John, we've already seen as Jesus Christ has been teaching and preaching, he's been doing miracles, and the religious establishment has not approved. They have already sent out arrest warrants. They've already tried to threaten his life. They've tried to stone him a couple different times. And now the Lord Jesus Christ has moved away. He spent some more time in the Capernaum, the Galilee area, preaching. But now there is going to be an incident that's going to call him close to that place in Jerusalem again. And we find this account in the Gospel record of John chapter number 11. The Gospel record of John chapter 11, and notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 1. The Gospel record of John chapter 11 in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, a town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the God, Son of God, might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. After that, he saith to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk at night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning her brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused even this man should have not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou should see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where he was dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus said and spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that the Lord Jesus Christ called himself, a name of God, in the gospel record of John chapter number 11? The gospel record of John chapter 11, and notice with me in verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And with the Lord's help, we want to preach this as we see the Lord Jesus Christ here declaring himself the resurrection and the life through the account of the raising of Lazarus. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I know that there's a lot of things to cover, a lot of things to understand in here. But I'm asking that you would just give grace and mercy and discernment to us that we could see what a great God you truly are. That we could learn from you, and that we could be amazed by you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, for the context, at this point, the Lord Jesus Christ has already done many miracles. At this point, the Lord Jesus Christ has had many great teachings. At this point, the Lord Jesus Christ has already done many trials that people have watched. And many people have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. But the religious establishment has determined that they did not like Jesus. Their heart has hardened. They've rejected everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've already tried to arrest him. They've already tried to kill him. And now it's very much publicly known that if they catch Jesus, they're going to kill him. So Jesus and his disciples have been preaching two countries above. Remember, you have Judea, then you have Samaria, and then you would have Galilee. So if you could imagine, there's two countries separating them. So he's relatively safe from the authority and the command of the Jewish people, from the religious establishment especially. And as Jesus has been working with his disciples and preaching for a while, they get a notification that Lazarus is dead. If you don't mind, let's go ahead and hit something here. The first thing I'm going to show you is the purpose behind the sickness. The purpose behind the sickness. Notice with me in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now we'll pause here. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his travels, had a certain place where he loved to stay, and it was the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We've seen them before in different instances. In fact, the Gospel record of John makes a reference that this was the same Mary who was so thankful that she was forgiven of her sins, had actually washed Jesus' feet with her own hair and with her tears. Well, that's pretty big devotion. That's pretty amazing. Some of you ladies are very protective of your hair. You could not imagine using that as to washing someone's dirty, nasty, awful feet. But she was so thankful, she was just trying to think of something she could do to show the Lord Jesus Christ her thankfulness. By the way, we should get to the place of being that thankful. Amen. Well, because Mary and Martha and Lazarus would always responded well, Jesus would make Bethany, their house in Bethany, his stopping place. Whenever he was going to Jerusalem, he would kind of go out of his way, stop at their place. It'd be their place where they know that they would always be welcome. It'd be a place where they always know they could get some food. If you do traveling, it's much better to be able to stay at a place that you know than some roadside hotel or not having any guarantee of a place whatsoever. And they loved to have the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was clear that he loved them. Now, sometimes we miss that phrase. We're going to find it all throughout here. But it says that Jesus loved them. A lot of times we kind of skip past that. That the God of the universe, Jesus robed in flesh, had an emotional attachment to these three people. Of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it was evident by his behavior and what he did to everyone else that everyone else knew that he loved them. They knew that these three had a special place in the Lord Jesus Christ's heart. He had a special relationship with them. He loved them. And so it gives an account that a certain man by the name of Lazarus was sick. And so verse number 3, therefore, because Lazarus was sick, they sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, they're going to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that, first of all, Jesus is powerful. You know, if I had a personal relationship of the human Jesus Christ, Jesus robed in flesh, and knew that he could do miracles, and then someone had a very serious sickness that they're going to die, I'd be dialing up Jesus too. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's why you have a connection. I know, and notice they said, him whom thou lovest. Jesus, you love Lazarus. We know you do. He's sick. Come heal him. We know you can. By faith. Can you heal him? In fact, you don't even have to come. We know that you can heal him from afar. Just do your thing. Can you imagine? They sent him a runner. And it was not U.S. Post Mail, which takes, you know, forever to deliver a package. They made sure they got the fastest, most dependable courier. You go find Jesus. You deliver this message. It's important. Go now. And this guy is paid for speed. I mean, because you don't want someone who's going to die in 3 days and you want your package to be delivered in 5 days or the message. That doesn't help anyone. They made sure they got someone who was quick, someone who was reliable, someone who was going to be able to get the job done and deliver the message. Lazarus is sick. Jesus gets the message. Verse number 4. And when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So when Jesus was notified of this, by the way, Jesus was not unknowing of this. This is more public. Amen. Jesus already knew where Lazarus was at, knew his condition. He publicly out loud said to his disciples, God has a purpose for this. We're going to glorify God. With the idea he's prepping them up. They should have been able to respond by faith. All right? There's a purpose behind this. And that's encouraging to us that God has a purpose behind our sicknesses too. We may not know, but God does. And his purpose is to glorify his name. to use the things within our life, our tragedies, our heartbreaks. We would call this principle treasures of darkness, that the worst things that happen to us turn to be the greatest things that happen to us if it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we perhaps say that the worst things that ever happened to Lazarus is he died?
Yes.
I mean, that'd be pretty bad for you too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the last thing you want right now.
Yeah.
So Lazarus died, worst thing that happened to him. But by the end of the story, is this going to be one of the greatest things that happened to him?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole incident's going to change his life. We're going to see that later on because he's actually going to have to pay a price for being risen again. But him being sick, people sometimes try to find purpose in it. Sometimes we don't know. But we could trust because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he knows everything. He has a purpose behind the things we go through.
Yep.
He knows what he's doing. And we are to look to God by faith and find the treasures in darkness. The worst things that happen to us can turn to be the greatest things that happen to us if it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, Jesus Christ is not just trying to do something in Lazarus's life, but he is always constantly working on his disciples and their faith, which we're going to see here in just a bit. But they're like us. We like to make fun of the disciples, but we're as thick as they are a lot of times too, and we don't catch hints when Jesus is trying to speak to us. Notice as we go on. So he announces that he's got a purpose for this. Now, verse 5, it reemphasizes that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So notice the Bible is placing a great emphasis on the love of God. It's not like, well, you know, I didn't really like Lazarus. You know, I'll just kind of hold off and oops, too late. It's trying to say that Jesus did love him. And even though he loved him, he still allowed this to happen. As a reminder, if something bad happens to you, sickness, health, trials, whatever else, it's not because God doesn't love you. I know sometimes our flesh or our mentality makes us get to the place where God just doesn't like me. He just... God loves you. And it's because he loves you, he will allow these things to happen in our life. We're not to doubt the goodness of God or his feelings or his love towards us, even when bad things are happening. Verse number 6. And when he, Jesus, had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he gets a message, an urgent message. You could see the courier. I've got an important message for you, Jesus. Hey, can you sign for this? Yeah. Lazarus is dead. His sisters have sent for you. They want you to help. Thanks for the message. And then he stays there for 2 days. Now, again, we know the end of the story, but if you were there, what are you doing? You know, we, looking at that, we often expect to give our prayer request to God and for him to hop to it.
Yeah.
Take care of it right now, Jesus. But Jesus never works on our schedule.
Amen.
He has his own time schedule. He knows what he's doing. He knows when he's doing it. But he didn't hop to it. He stayed there for 2 days, knowing, receiving the message that the man he loved, his good friend, his family friend, Lazarus, was dying and was he knew he was going to die. He stayed there for 2 days. Jesus doesn't work on our time schedule. He knows what he's doing. And the whole purpose was to glorify the Son, to glorify God and glorify Jesus. Jesus knew what he was doing. It took greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ to stay than what it would take for him to go. Why? Because a greater miracle than just healing was going to take place. What is a greater miracle? To heal someone who's sick or to heal someone from the dead? Well, clearly, raising from the dead was a bigger miracle. That just doesn't happen. Jesus knew what he was doing. The hard thing was not that God for God to provide. The hard thing was waiting on God to provide. Again, we get in a hurry expecting God to jump because we said jump. God to snap to it because we give him a request. But God is God. We are his servant. He's not our servant. One thing that aggravates people is that God doesn't move when we expect him to move. But we have to remember God is God, not us. And we could trust his timing. His timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. He knows when to give the request. The purpose of this thing is can we trust him? That's where it comes to. Can we trust him? How do I know if I'm trusting him? Are you patiently waiting or are you impatiently waiting? There's a difference. Because we can get to the place where we're complaining. I don't understand why God hasn't solved this. I don't understand why God still allows me to be sick. I don't understand why he hasn't fixed this. I don't understand why he hasn't fixed them. I don't understand. Well, that all shows a lack of faith. Remember, the whole purpose of this is not just to torture Lazarus. It's not to make the sisters more miserable. But he is working with his disciples who are watching this entire time to try to teach them. Because in a matter of 2 weeks, Jesus will no longer be with them. In a matter of 2 weeks, they are going to have to survive off their own faith without Jesus physically being there. And part of the lessons they needed to learn was the lessons they were going to learn in this incident of Lazarus being sick, Lazarus dying, and Lazarus being risen again. They need to learn to trust Jesus Christ, that they could truly trust in him. And one of the things, they knew Jesus sat there for 2 days. They're with him. They're going to go back, take all of that travel time to get to Bethany here in a little bit. And when they said, Lazarus has been dead 4 days, they're going in their mind calculating, Jesus could have been here in time. He could have made it. Why didn't he? And Jesus is trying to work with his disciples, those that are following after him. God's timing is perfect. And we can trust in him. When it seems like Jesus is just sitting there, not doing anything, he's always at work. And he has a plan. And it's us, can we trust him? Can we trust him? Which now brings us to the second thing. The promise of life in the face of death. The promise of life in the face of death. So Jesus stays at the one place for 2 days. As we pick it up, notice with me in verse number 7. So after hanging out for 2 days, verse 7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. And his disciples said, whoa, 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 wait a second here. They're going to kill you there. If you show up one last time, you show up there, they're going to get you this time. They've had enough. We've already seen their fervor level. They've already told us warnings. We've already heard the rumblings. If they catch you, they will kill you. I mean, let's just stay up here in Capernaum. Let's just stay here. We're safe up here. Again, Jesus is working with his disciples. And just because they're safe there doesn't mean that's where God wants them. Amen. Sometimes God brings them where they're not safe. But it's not whether we're safe or not. Can we trust him? Can we trust him? Notice as it goes on. So his disciples have a fit. Verse 8. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Hey, it doesn't make sense. Why would you go back when they want to kill you? I mean, well, let's think about this now. We're safe here. They're not trying to hunt you here. Let's stay. Why would you go back? You're just going to aggravate them. You're just going to antagonize them. They're going to kill you. Notice Jesus' response. Verse number 7, or verse number 9. Jesus answered, are there not yet 12 days hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Well, that's kind of confusing, isn't it? Here, Jesus Christ, as he's talking with him, he's viewing his earthly ministry as day, meaning a set period of work under the direction of the Father. The Jewish people divided their days into 12 hours. So you had 12 hours of day, 12 hours at night. And it was a reminder that each moment of the day is appointed for labor, and there's coming where night, where no man could work. When Jesus is referring to his hour, he's reporting to the time of suffering and death. It's not quite time. All throughout the gospel record of John, you'll see his hour hasn't come. His hour hasn't come. Right now, it's still day and there's time to work. Until that hour arrived, no threat can harm Jesus Christ. So while Jesus was appointed by God to be on this earth to work, he's there to work. And when God is done with him, his hour arrives, the work is over. You know, the Apostle Paul kind of developed this mentality. I mean, after he was stoned at Lystra and went up to the third heaven, God said, I'm not done with you yet, sent him back down. And he walked up. And again, after his stoning, I mean, stoning's not a fun thing. There's broken bones, there's everything. And he not only rose, he walked back up and went back into the town. He lived the rest of his life saying, well, as long as God has a plan for me, I can't die. Amen. So, until God's done with me, I've got work to do. Let's go. I mean, there's a mentality there. Yep. You know, some people are so afraid of death, so afraid of what's going to happen to them that they get frozen. Yeah. Yep. And they don't move forward because fear holds them. Jesus is giving a principle here that, hey, as long as God has put us here to work, get it done. Because you're as long as God wants you to stay here, you're staying here. Amen. He's got a plan. Do the plan. It doesn't matter. They could threaten you all they want, but they can't kill you until God says they could kill you. Isn't that a comfort? You're like, I don't know. Well, as you start following the Lord, it becomes a great comfort. And if they do kill you, what, they're going to promise you with heaven? I'm going to heaven. Okay, cool. Let's go there. I mean, what's the worst they're going to do to you? Send you to heaven? Amen. And so Jesus is, again, in about 2 weeks' time, the disciples aren't going to have the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be on their own. So Jesus is using this incident, and Mary and Martha don't know that Jesus is teaching his disciples about this. All they know is they're brokenhearted. Lazarus doesn't know what's going on. He's dead. Isn't it amazing? I've always been amazed what God will do in someone else's life to teach me a lesson.
Amen. Yes.
That's pretty humbling, isn't it? That God has allowed this to happen to Lazarus to teach his disciples something. Yeah. There's a purpose in what we do and what he does, even if we don't understand it.
Amen. Yeah.
It's amazing to see someone who loves the Lord, who's dedicated their life to the Lord, and then ends up dying at a young age. And you're like, God, that's a waste. They loved you. I mean, they love you more than everyone else. Why would you kill them? But God would use their death to see someone else come to know Savior. Their death to see someone else surrender to the ministry. God knows what he's doing. Can you trust him? He is the resurrection and he is the life. Remember, the whole time he is working with his disciples to try to train them, to try to prepare them, because in about 2 weeks' time, they will not have the body, physical body of Jesus directing them. They're going to be on their own, and Jesus is trying to give some last minute cramming before the exam. Lessons they need to have. Can you trust him? Can you trust him in the timing? Can you trust him with danger? Can you trust him with a life? Can you trust his direction? Can you trust that he knows what he's doing and knows where he's going? Can you trust in him? Notice as it goes on. Verse number 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. So Jesus talks to his disciples and said, yep, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Now remember, the word sleep is a nice, kind Bible way of saying someone's dead. But people don't understand language like that. Well, if he's sleeping, he's doing great. I meant because they tell us that if you're hurt, you're injured, you're to sleep. Let your body heal itself. So they're like, oh, great, wonderful. We got this message a couple days ago that Lazarus is sick. He's going to die, but you stayed here for 2 days. Now you tell us that he's going to be fine. He's sleeping. Great, wonderful. Well, then, you know, I guess you were right for staying here for 2 days. It's amazing. People don't always understand this. The disciples question this, verse number 12. And then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he doeth well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 14 is very special to me because as a law enforcement chaplain, one of my jobs is to give death notifications. It's my responsibility to give the worst news in someone's life. And not only do I need to know how to do this, but I'm also responsible in training people, including officers. For example, I have a special training about how to do a death notification to instruct officers. And one of the things in here is that we have to use the word dead. Why? Because when you're telling people the worst news of their life, all of a sudden their brain doesn't work. And you start to use little similes, you start to use different figurative language, and they don't catch it. They're in shock. For example, you know what? Your husband, he's upstairs now. They're like, I didn't see him come home. Is he up in the attic? No, it's not there. Well, your husband, I'm sorry to tell you, but he's no longer with us. Is he coming back? Well, your husband, I'm sorry to say, but he passed. Where's he going? We have to be taught, and we teach, you have to use the word dead. And now, it goes against what we do, because we want to soften the blow.
Yep.
But Jesus said, he said to them plainly, and oftentimes, or in the idea of making death notifications, see, you're learning a little bit about my job. We have to use the word dead. We have to use plain language so that way they understand. Because if you use any other language, they will think it's something else. They will not process that the person is dead. It's just a weird protection thing that we have when it gets to bad news. Unless it's told us directly, we will think of something else. By the way, this applies for other stuff. When you're telling someone bad news, use plain language. Because if you don't, they will start thinking of other things and they won't relate to it and they won't make the corrections or the preparations or whatever else is necessary. Does that make sense? Here's a good example. Lazarus is sleeping. I'm going to go wake him up. Oh man, that's great. What do you mean it's great? Oh yeah, well, if he's resting, wonderful. He needs a good nap. All right, boys, it's not what I'm talking about. Well, what do you mean? He's dead. Oh. So why did Jesus put this in here like that? Why didn't he use the word dead in the first place? I personally think it's for people giving death notifications. It gives us good training. I could actually use the Bible and say, well, look, Jesus himself had to use it because the disciples didn't catch what they were doing.
Yeah.
It's just for free. It's just, you know, I enjoy this passage because of it. Jesus had to use plain language too because people don't understand if you don't use plain language.
Yeah.
Good. So he said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. What do you mean? What do you mean you're glad that he's dead? It's not quite what he said, but I'm glad for your sakes. Now, remember, this whole time I've been saying that Jesus has been teaching his disciples. Well, here's the proof. Jesus said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. I'm using this as training for you, even though I'm not saying, class, open up your books. I am teaching you things about life without the classroom setting. I am teaching you that you can trust me in timing. I am teaching you could trust me with your lives in danger. I'm teaching that you could trust me with people who are dead. You could trust me with the circumstances. I am glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent now that ye may believe. Now remember, in 2 weeks' time, Jesus is going to be at the cross and he's going to be dead. Jesus is now trying to do last minute instructions to these disciples. And he said, I'm glad for your sake that this happened because I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to train you. I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to help you. I have something here for you. Notice it goes on. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 16, I know Thomas gets a lot of hard times because at the end when we call him Doubting Thomas. But this here was a leadership quality here, verse number 16. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas surrendered and said, all right, Jesus is going to go die. Let's go with him, boys. You know, there's an element of faith there. Yeah. We're going to go with Jesus. I know, again, Thomas gets a lot of hard times for being doubting Thomas. But here he was a leader full of faith saying, all right, wherever Jesus goes, we're going to. Amen. Amen. Notice as we go on, we now shift as Jesus traveled the way to Bethany. The pain of those who mourn. The pain of those that mourn. So now we're shifting from the disciples to Mary and Martha. Now, Mary and Martha were very close to their brother. Can you imagine the turmoil, and maybe you don't have to imagine, of having someone near and dear to you who passes, who dies? The grieving, the hurt, especially with the idea that they thought and believed that Jesus could stop this. It doesn't take long for us to get bitter. Where does bitterness come from? Unforgiveness. When we think that Jesus should have done something and he didn't do what we want him to do, we can often get bitter with God. Well, he should have stopped this accident. He should have stopped this pain. He should have stopped my cat who's 20 years old from dying. He could have prevented grandma who's 130 from passing. We can get bitter with God for very easily. And we could see that creeping up, especially in Martha, but it is also in Mary. It is something every human has to fight with. There's not a single one of us who's immune from bitterness if we allow it. Notice they're grieving. And remember, hurting people hurt people. And these people are grieving. Notice with me in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now this 4 days is going to be important. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to that in a second. But Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs. In our American things, it's about 2 miles away. Which for most of us, 2 miles isn't that big of a deal, but you also have cars. Some of you can't walk 2 miles.
Amen.
I can't. But you know, so 2 miles is a long ways away when you got to walk it.
Yeah.
And Bethany was about nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So Mary and Martha are weeping. Their brother's been dead for 4 days. And they've got friends and family that have come to comfort them. Praise the Lord that they had friends and family. And so 4 days after, they're still comforting. Remember, especially in the Hebrew people, mourning periods were long. It wasn't just the next day, go to work and get over it. And there should be a grieving period. And they're in a grieving period. And they have people that are comforting with them. People that are sympathizing with them and empathizing with them, that are crying with them. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And Mary stayed still in the house. So the two different reactions. Martha is always one that had to do something. Mary was always one content to wait. When they receive, and it carries the idea that it was whispered. It wasn't announced. Hey, Jesus is here. There was a message got to Martha. Hey, Jesus is here. She goes, Mary, Jesus is here. And she takes off. She goes running. They don't know exactly why, but Martha comes up. And Martha has something in there that she's ready to give Jesus a piece of her mind. She's that type of lady. Remember, she's already kind of yelled at and fussed at Jesus for not making Mary work. Yeah. How come you don't make him work, her work? I'm doing all this labor. So she's never had a problem talking to Jesus plainly and giving a piece of her mind. And she is ready to unload. Have you ever been ready to unload because you're hurting so badly? You're just waiting for that one person to show up that you could just unload and just make yourself feel better by telling them what they did wrong. She is loaded for bear and she's ready to go. And again, we would laugh that she would think that she's going to go yell at God. But again, hurting people hurt people. And oftentimes we will aim that gun at the person that least deserves it just because they're a ready target. So she's coming ready, and she's going to go yell at Jesus, how come you let this happen? How come you didn't come sooner? Why weren't you here? And she's ready to go. Notice she goes out. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. You know, that's not soft. That is a direct accusation. If you were here, he would have not died. It is all your fault. That's exactly what she said. It is your fault. If you were here when you were supposed to be, if you weren't somewhere else, he would have not died. Heaven forbid she found out that Jesus took 2 days off. She would have been really mad. What do you mean, 2 days off? Oh, you can imagine her. I mean, sometimes it's good to put her divine imagination. Play this scene out in your mind. Watch your face contort. Watch your face get mad. Jesus, if you would have been here, he would have not have died. His disciples said, yeah, well, he took days off. Imagine that if they'd let that slip. I mean, hopefully they were smart enough. Peter, shut up. Shut up. She's upset. I mean, imagine the disciples. Remember, they're there. I mean, here is Martha yelling at Jesus. And his disciples are like, this is awkward. I mean, because she's clearly upset. You don't want to stop a lady who's that upset and grieving. Yeah. But they're also yelling at Jesus, who they kind of believe is God. Okay. I mean, that's an awkward thing. We kind of forget that the disciples are there watching this whole thing. I mean, what would you do? Watching this lady who has every right to be grieving start yelling at Jesus for the wrong reasons. And the disciples are like, well, he did take 2 days off. Kind of his fault. I mean, maybe it was unsaid. They don't need to throw roof full of, okay. Woo-hoo. You ever wish you were somewhere else in the middle of a confrontation like this? They're yelling at Jesus. Okay. She's letting him have it. She's upset. I mean, this is not like soft. Jesus, if you would have been here. She's upset. Make sure you read that with anger. Upset. Jesus, if you would have been here. Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother had not died. An accusation. But then notice, she does get herself. She tries to catch herself in verse 21. She tries to temper it, but I know, even now, that whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it to thee. Have you ever been so mad and you caught yourself and you're trying to back that off? Maybe I shouldn't yell at Jesus. All right, but you know, I know that you're God. I know I shouldn't be yelling at you. I know it's there. That's more what that is there. It's not so much an element of faith, more of a, I've caught myself, I'm yelling at the wrong person, but I'm still upset. And okay, I know that you're, I mean, okay, good. At least she caught herself. That's good. That's good. Now, by the way, can't we both all empathize with her?
Yes. Yeah.
And haven't we been there? Yeah. Yelled at the wrong person, and then we realize we yelled at the wrong person, and we're still just kind of, all right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have yelled at you. I'm just upset. Sounds like a conversation you guys had this week.
Yeah.
Notice Jesus then. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is so gracious? Verse 23, and Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now he's trying to comfort her. But again, she's upset, not thinking right. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. To her, that's more of a platitude. Yeah, I'll see him again. I know the Bible says that I'll see him again. Not much help right now. Verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am present tense, the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall not die. Believest thou this? So Jesus again is now teaching her and the disciples, I am the resurrection and the life. people have life because of me, and because of me that they'll live again. If they trust in me, they have eternal life as a present possession. It is something they have. And then she asked, do you believe this? Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. No, so she goes, yes, I believe you, you're God, you could raise him again, I'll be back. And she goes back and tells her sister. So she's already yelled at Jesus. Now she's going to go get Mary. All right, Jesus is here. Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way, calling Mary, her sister, secretly. So it was more she whispered in her ear. She didn't publicly say, hey, Jesus is out here. Now again, why? Because they know that Jesus Christ is wanted. They don't want to make a public declaration and say, hey, Jesus is here. Do you think the Jews would have any problems whatsoever arresting Jesus when he's trying to comfort grieving people? No, they took a woman in the very act of adultery and dragged her out and exposed her in front of everyone. They had no problems whatsoever breaking up a funeral to go arrest Jesus. Notice as it goes on, verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way, calling Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she, Mary, arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her, Mary, in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out and followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep it there. So all they saw was Martha come and say, whisper something. Mary gets up hastily and takes off. And they go, well, she must want to go see the grave. Let's go. It's our job to comfort her. Let's travel with her. They were not expecting to see Jesus out there, but they did. Verse 32, and when Mary had come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. Notice, Martha said that, then Mary said that. You know that it kind of implies that those two have been talking with each other and feeding on their own bitterness, unforgiveness. We do that sometimes. We'll find someone who will agree with us, and then it will actually feed into that. Find us a reason why to be mad at Jesus, and they feed into it, or find your pastor or your parents or whatever. You know, have you ever had, some of you had siblings. Do you ever talk with your siblings about how bad mom or dad are, and that actually feeds into it? Now you have more of an ought against your parents because now it's just feeding. Well, that's what's been happening the last several days. Mary and Martha, Jesus, if he was just here, probably started with Martha. But when you hang around bitter people, it will start catching on you. And Mary, who is usually sweet, she was the one who washed Jesus' feet with her hair. She was loving and sweet. But Jesus Christ loved them both, had proved it. But because she hung around bitter people and allowed that in her grieving state, she started to get that too. And she also accused Jesus, basically saying, if you were here, this wouldn't happen. It's your fault. This is what happened in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What broke Jesus' heart? It wasn't that Lazarus died. It was that Mary had also become bitter and accused him of not being right, of not being good. She saw her tears, saw how broken it was, and it hurt him. Jesus is an emotional being too, because God is emotional. He's seeing the hurt of Mary, seeing the hurt of Martha, seeing the others who are brokenhearted because they're brokenhearted, and seeing because of it has taken away their faith, their trust in him, to the place where she accused Jesus, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. You say, well, he's God. Yes, but he was also 100% human. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me is a big lie. Do you know that we can actually hurt God with our words, with our actions? And to be able to say, God, you're not good. You're not right to allow this to happen. It hurts him. Because it's not true. He's always good. And he's always right. Notice as it goes on, and you guys have been very patient. I know a longer message, but thank you. Keep it with me. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Jesus didn't try to correct their behavior, try to correct their things. He said, "All right, where's Lazarus at?" And so they directed him. And the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have even caused this man not to die?" Now, once again, the rest of the crowd is now saying he's not good and not right. He should have been here. He could have done this. He loved him. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he fix this? Why didn't he solve this? But then after this, we see the power of the Son of God. Notice with me in verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. Why? Because of the disbelief and the lack of faith of all these people. There, Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days." Now, this is a big deal. In the Jewish mindset, they believe that corruption, decomposition began at day 4. So the first 3 days, if you're going to raise someone up, you're still good. But by day 4, this is going to be corruption. The book of Psalms talks about this. And this is also why it was important that Jesus rose again by the 3rd day. Because by the 4th day, he would have corruption and he wouldn't be considered the Messiah, the Son of God, because he would be corrupted. But Jesus is showing that he has power beyond what they thought. And they're like, "No, Lord, don't open it. I know you want to see him. I know you miss him. But if you open up, you're going to feel the smell the rot. You're going to smell the decomposition. You're going to start smelling him. And all the spices and the stuff that we do to cover the smell, that's going to be wiped away. You're going to be able to smell." By the way, as a law enforcement chaplain, there is nothing like the smelling decomposition body. It is unforgettable and unique. You're like, "I don't need to hear that. I know." But I'm just trying to say, they don't want to smell it either. "Lord, don't open it up. He's been rotting now. You're smelling the decomp. You don't want to see the body in this state." Jesus ignored what they said. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, "Said not I unto thee that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God?" And they took away the stone in the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he begins to pray, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard me always. But because the people that stand by," notice he's praying so everyone else can hear, "that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Again, he's trying to teach his disciples first. He's trying to remind his disciples that he has power. Why? He's going to be crucified, and the 3rd day he's going to rise again, and they needed to believe that he was able to do that. Verse 43, "And he had thus spoken this, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" May I put an emphasis here? Why did Jesus call his name? Because Jesus had so much power, if he just said, "Come forth," everyone who was dead would have came out. Amen. He needed to be able to say which one. "Lazarus! Only you, come forth." You're like, "Really?" Well, if you find later on when Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the 3rd day, everyone else rose with him. He had that much power. And they had the dead people walking around. People were like, "What? Uncle Joe? I thought you died. I don't know what happened, but that was so much resurrection power." Yeah. Jesus had to make sure. "Only Lazarus, Lazarus, you come forth. Everyone else stay down." Then Lazarus comes forth. Verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes." For those of you who like monster movies, here's a mummy coming out. Imagine Lazarus, he died, didn't even know what happened. He wakes up and he's got all the stuff on his face and he's hearing the Lord Jesus, "Lazarus, come forth." "Okay, I can't move. All right." I mean, wouldn't that be a sight to see? Yeah. Now again, he's doing it for his disciples. And they're going, "Wow." Remember what he told them at the beginning? "I'm glad for your sakes." Because you need to see resurrection power. Why? In 2 weeks, I'm going to be dead. And you are going to need to believe that I can rise again. You need to have this nailed down, that I have this power, that I am the resurrection and the life. And I will be again like I promised. Now, of course, they didn't learn the lesson. They're going to go, and they're going to get depression, and they're going to go boo-hoos. Peter's going to quit the ministry, drag seven of them with him. I mean, it's going to be a mess. But Jesus is trying to teach them these lessons. You can trust me. So what lessons do you need to learn? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Can you trust him in the hard times? Can you trust him when things don't make sense? Can you trust him with the timings? Can you trust him with your life? Can you trust in him? We do have a wonderful God. And we need to be reminded just like the disciples. Now, of course, the easiest message here is that if you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you need to know this Savior for yourself so you could be guaranteed this eternal life. But knowing my audience, that most of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, remember his audience was the disciples, to teach them the lesson. Can you trust me in hard times? Can you trust me with timing? Can you trust me to do what's right? Can you trust me to do the impossible? Can you trust me? And of course, his disciples had a hard time. We are hoping we're more mature because we do have a completed Bible and we got to see the end of the story. Can you trust him? Maybe perhaps you have been at the place where you're accusing Jesus of not being good or not being right. Maybe something happened in your life that you're having a hard time getting over with. May I say that God is always good and God is always right. And you can trust in him. And perhaps you need to readjust your thinking and forgive Jesus and try to see what he was doing through that scenario. The principles of treasures of darkness is that the worst things that happen to us can turn to be the greatest things that happen to us if it draws us close to the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lazarus, the worst things that happened to him is that he died. But it ended up being the greatest thing that happened to him because it showed a powerful, glorious God that he was able to trust into. We can trust in him. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.